magic potion, but I know that there's a plan. We can save our skies and oceans, our forests and our land. But to reach the ears of Congress, we're gonna have to shout. The animals and trees can't, so we've got to work this out. Oh, sometimes.
Welcome back to EcoTalk, and we are in conversation with well, one of my heroes, I think I can say that, Ross Gelbspan, prize-winning journalist, author, lecturer extraordinaire, and his most recent book, which I highly recommend you give to everyone you know for holiday gifts, I'm going to, Boiling Point, How Politicians, Big Oil, and Coal, Journalists, and Activists Have Fueled the Climate Crisis and What We Can Do to Avert Disaster. I guess, Ross, I look up to you because you, I guess like me in a sense, went from journalism to activism because you were so concerned, because you basically learned too much.
Absolutely, Betsy. That's completely true. And I basically got into the subject, having been an investigative reporter most of my life, simply because I found out that the coal industry was paying a few would-be scientists to say it's not happening. And I said, ah, if there's this cover-up going on, what are they covering up? And that's when I got into the whole subject so deeply.
Mm. And when we went to break, you were talking about the U.S. position and what's real and what's not.
Well, not only what's real and what's not, but you were talking about India and China and the developing world. And as we mentioned, the Kyoto Protocol actually only applies to the industrial countries, and it calls on them to reduce their emissions first, and then the developing countries would follow suit in subsequent rounds. I will say that there is really no resistance in developing countries to make this transition. They would love to do it. The most air-polluted cities in the world are in Bangkok, Thailand, and in China, and in Santiago, Chile, and Mexico City. So developing countries would love to go solar. The real issue is that they can't afford it. And what really needs to happen is a mechanism to transfer clean energy to poor countries. And that, I think, is a real human rights issue, and it's an equity issue as well. And it's an issue, again, that the Bush administration is sort of using as an excuse for inaction on the part of the United States.
And were you surprised to see many citizens' initiatives like yours and city mayors really taking action after we refused, as expected, to not be part of the enactment of the Kyoto Protocol?
I wasn't surprised. I've been surprised that it's taken this long, because the evidence is so clear, the science is so robust, and the impacts are so visible that it's very nice to finally see that the grassroots are responding here. And I will tell you that I think it's having pretty big implications in our foreign relations also, and I think people are very aware of that. When Bush withdrew the United States from the Kyoto process, not long after he first took office, that generated a rage in the rest of the world, especially in Europe. And, you know, it's interesting to note what's going on in Europe in contrast to what's happening here. While Bush in the United States is going ahead with their emissions and no reductions, Holland is cutting her emissions by 80% in 40 years. Tony Blair has committed Britain to cut emissions by 60% in 50 years. The Germans have agreed to 50% cuts in 50 years. And about 4 months ago, French President Chirac called on the entire industrial world to cut emissions by 75% in the next 45 years. So the United States really is isolated in this area. And it also has really incurred the wrath of people in Europe. And I think that's going to come back and affect us very strongly. One thing I can tell you is that I've heard a number of European officials talking about bringing sanctions against the United States economically. And in particular, they were talking, several officials that I spoke to were talking about bringing the U.S. to court under the World Trade Organization. And their reasoning was this: the WTO prohibits governments from subsidizing their products. And these officials were making the point that, gee, if the rest of us are drawing down our emissions according to the Kyoto schedule and the U.S. isn't, then we're thinking of taking the U.S. to court under the WTO and charging them with carbon subsidizing U.S. exports. And if that were to happen, they would put stiff taxes on U.S. exports as a way of retaliating for our failure to join the rest of the world on this issue.
In our remaining 2 minutes, Ross, what can we do to avert further disaster?
What we really need to do, Betsy, is think politically. Unfortunately, most environmentalists reflexively think about lifestyle changes, and that works for a lot of environmental issues, but not this one. And even if we all sat in the dark and rode bicycles, it would not stop global warming. So what we really need to do is to pressure our government into joining on to this rapid global energy transition. We need to rewire the world with clean energy and not just look at global warming as a really scary threat. We have to see it for the opportunity it is as well. And that means that if we were to spearhead a worldwide transfer of clean energy, both in this country and in the developing world, that would create huge numbers of jobs. It would give people in poor countries the energy they need to start local businesses and generate local industries. It would turn impoverished countries into trading partners. It would undermine a lot of the economic desperation, I think, that gives rise to terrorism and anti-U.S. sentiment. And so I think we really need to see that in the near to middle term, that kind of a transition would dramatically expand the overall wealth in the global economy. It would bring all the nations of the world together in a common global project, and it would lead to a much more prosperous and a much more secure world.
And if people would like to find out more about your proposals, which I think are quite realistic and very exciting, do you have a website?
I have my own, which is heatisonline.org. But I would also refer people to the People's Ratification website that makes some of these same points, and that's KyotoAndBeyond.org.
Thanks, Ross. And want to also tell our listeners they can go to ecotalk.net for more information about our guests and our topics. And stay with us. We'll be right back after these messages.
But hey, let's not talk about global warming. No, no. Let's just talk about the weather.